In today's first reading from the book of Daniel, we read, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him." Hello again. Today's first reading from chapter 3 of the book of Daniel depicts the miracle whereby Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are touched by the fires commanded by King Nebuchadnezzar. The account represents one of the great heroic stories in the Jewish scriptures. Indeed, the courage of these three Jewish men led, as the introductory statement suggests, to a change in Nebuchadnezzar's mind so that he became a supporter of their faith instead of an adversary. This passage and the entire book of Daniel were written at the time when the Jewish people experienced captivity in Babylon. The story inspired courage among the Jewish people in the face of persecution, not only then, but in modern times, most notably during the Holocaust. A similar inspiration of courage in the face of persecution can be seen through the artwork of the Jewish painter Marc Chagall, the anniversary of whose death in 1985 we commemorate today. Perhaps, friends, you are familiar with one of his better-known paintings, titled White Crucifixion. This painting is said to be one of Pope Francis's favorite paintings. A link to the painting may be found next to the link to today's homily. A few words about this very important painting. In the painting, we may find Jesus is wearing a tallit, the traditional prayer shawl worn by religious Jews, especially the Hasidim. Jesus also wears a sort of headcloth a shepherd might wear. The barely legible inscription above Jesus' head is the Latin NRI, and its Aramaic translation. A menorah is below Jesus' feet. One commentator notes, Chagall, quote, emphasized Jesus' importance to both Christians and Jews, for the Jewish Jesus with his covered head and his fringe garment is also a Christian. In 1938, when Chagall painted White Crucifixion, European Jews were beginning to face the worst persecution in history. Chagall was living in Paris at this point, and news of the Kristallnacht pogrom on Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, November 9th through 10th of 1938, was creating fear in all Jews. Chagall was aware of the danger into which such a painting would put him and his family. If and when the Germans took Paris, when that happened in 1940, the Chagalls had already fled to Marseille, where they were detained by the Nazis. As if anticipating the 1942 film Casablanca, the Chagalls were on their way to Lisbon, whence they hoped to find passage to New York, which they eventually did. But not before Chagall's creative paintings, including White Crucifixion, were briefly impounded, first by the Germans in southern France, then by Spanish fascists on the way to Portugal. Chagall may have been naive in thinking that the totalitarianism of the Soviet Union, another bastion of anti-Semitism, would come to the rescue of European Jewry. But apparently that's what we see in the mob with red flags entering top left in White Crucifixion. The rest of the half dozen tableaux surrounding Jesus are recognizable. Even we don't entirely grasp the specific references. We can't blame the artist for having a rosette view of Russia, his boyhood home. Chagall created at least 100 crucifixion scenes over the years, and did stained glass paintings for churches. I happen to see this particular painting in Chicago's museum. Yet, there's nothing to suggest Chagall was a crypto-Christian. On the other hand, he was a close friend of Raïs Maraton, wife of philosopher Jacques Maraton, both Catholic converts, she from Orthodox Judaism and Jacques from agnostic Protestantism. She said of Chagall that he always painted, quote, Christ étendu à travers le monde perdu, unquote. Christ spread across the lost world. whether he thought of Christ as simply an extraordinary ethical first century Jew, or less likely, the Messiah. For Chagall, Jesus always represented hope, which means there's truth in the painter's work. Today's Gospel from John also invites us to consider another contemporary theme for Jewish-Catholic relations. Some of you may recall how growing up, there was a great deal of anti-Semitism within Roman Catholicism. Indeed, for many Jewish boys, Good Friday was a day when they could anticipate anti-Semitic taunting and even fights. Until the Second Vatican Council, gospel passion passages insinuated that the Jews were the ones responsible for putting Jesus to death. This prejudice was reinforced by such liturgical lines as, quote, the perfidious Jews, unquote. Much but not all of Catholic anti-Semitism has dissipated since 1963. Most notably, because of the Vatican document, Nostra Aetate, in our time, it means. There we read the Church calling for more dialogue and shared understanding between Catholicism and Judaism, as it sought to foster and recommend that mutual understanding and respect be realized. The Council also noted, quote, in her rejection of every persecution against any man, the Church, mindful of the patrimony she shares with the Jews, and moved not by political reasons, but by the Gospel's spiritual love, decries hatred, persecutions, displays of anti-Semitism directed against Jews at any time and by anyone, unquote. Since then, a plethora of dialogical efforts have taken place. I had the opportunity to participate in one recent event involving Pope Francis. In 2013, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of Nostra Aetate, when I was served as president of St. Joseph University, I commissioned a commemorative statue through the university's Institute of Jewish and Catholic Relations. The statue was titled Synagogia et Ecclesia in Our Times. This original sculpture, created by the Jewish artist Joshua Kaufman, was subsequently blessed by Pope Francis when he visited the United States in September of 2015. A link showing the picture of this statue may be seen next to today's homily link, meaning synagogue and church in Greek, synagogia and ecclesia, refers to a pair of female figures found in medieval Christian art that personified Judaism and the church. In that era, ecclesia was portrayed as a majestic, crowned, and triumphant figure, far superior to synagogia, who was depicted as defeated, uncrowned, her staff broken, and her vision blinded. This adversarial contrast was repudiated in 1965 by Nostra Aetate in our time. I should note that the statue depicts now two sisters as equals, one reading the Torah, the other reading the Bible. The New Testament, I should say. Certainly, Catholic-Jewish attitudes towards one another has come a long way since Nostra Aetate. Regrettably, our relations have still a long way to go. But by means of inspiring paintings such as White Crucifixion, sculpture works such as Synagogia et Ecclesiae, and heroic stories found in the Book of Daniel, Catholics may more come to appreciate more vividly and trust more deeply in our elder Jewish brothers and sisters, in their faith, and to whom Nebuchadnezzar remarked, quote, there is no other God who can rescue like this.